Fellow auto detailers, welcome to the show that features interviews with today's most successful auto detailers. This is the Auto Detailing Podcast. Here's your host, Jimbo Balaam.
Hey guys, before we get started today, I want to talk to you about something that I've implemented into my auto detailing business personally that has seriously taken it to the next level. And that's B Pro by the Better Software Company. B Pro is the number one all-inclusive small business management solution that was designed specifically for detailers. You see, customer revenue is the lifeblood of any small business. And we've talked about this right on the show. And that's why I chose B Pro in my personal business, and that's why B Pro comes with a variety of features that are completely customizable to help boost your business. Here are some of the things that it includes. Email marketing. Have you been wanting to do that? Have you been wanting to step up your lead generation? How about your opportunity management? What is opportunity management? You know all those quotes that you throw out that you never hear back from those people? What if you actually started following up on the quotes that you gave? That would be huge. B Pro will even remind you when a customer's likely ready to buy from you again. So not only are you following up on the leads or on the quotes that you're giving out, but you're also following up on the customers that have already bought from you. That is huge. Really, even a ton of money on the table by not following up with our previous clients. B Pro has everything you need to run your auto detailing business in one easy to use solution. Customer management, invoicing, inventory, orders, scheduling, timesheets. B Pro has you covered whether you run a single man mobile detailing business or a multi-location, multi-employee, fixed location, or even fixed and mobile locations, B Pro can support you too. Only B Pro offers the same functionality on your smartphone as on your laptop, and they even have where your employees can log in and have their own interface too. So if you have multiple employees, you want tracking on your employees to be able to tell what time they got to a location, what time they left a location, you want customers to sign when the service is done, you want vehicle checklist. All these things are customizable within the B Pro software. So get started today at thebettersoftwarecompany.com. That's thebettersoftwarecompany.com. And tell them you heard about them from Jimbo on the Auto Detailing Podcast for some special love. All right, welcome to episode 245 of the Auto Detailing Podcast. We have a first on today's show. We've never had someone from Ireland on the show, so I'm super excited to welcome Pete. Is it Pete or Peter? Dang it, I messed it up.
Pete?
Yep. I tend to always mess up everyone's name, so no matter how many times I practice. Pete Gilchrist from Belfast in Northern Ireland. So, Pete, welcome to the Auto Detailing Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Again, you could see what a professional run operation I have going on here. But Pete, before we get into the topic of today, which is going to be a lesson that you learned today, why don't you give the listeners a background on you and your shop?
Okay, so I got into detailing about 16, 17 years ago now. It started out as a hobby thing when I was a kid. And then I actually get into the car body repair industry, and I just didn't enjoy it. But I find myself working in the detailing bay all the time instead of fixing cars, and I really enjoyed that. So I left that side of things and went to a dealership, a Ford dealership, and took the detailing job there. But they just did not let me do things how I wanted to do it. Like, even down to they wouldn't allow us to dress tires on cars because they did not want to pay for tire dressing.
Oh my God. Sounds like a dealer.
Yeah. Yeah. So I worked there for about a year. And then I got a job in a small independent dealership. And he was pretty good. He let us work on the cars pretty much as we wanted to do. So that's where I really developed my skill set. And from that, I guess I worked there for like 6 years or so. I'd started doing paint correction stuff as a hobby on the side because it just fascinated me with what guys were able to do when you were looking through stuff on the internet. Then the demand turned into a business. So PMG Auto Care was formed 2006 officially. We've been going ever since. And this year, I actually sold half the company to my best friend. And he'd started out at the start with me and was working all hours and wouldn't take any money from it. I just thought it was the right thing to do to bring him on board and have him as a partner. So it's been pretty good. We've been going from strength to strength.
Nice. So what is your earliest memory of, this is a total random question, but what's your earliest memory of realizing that detailing, not auto body, was, or maybe even detailing, and maybe that's why what led you to the auto body industry, but do you have like one particular moment that stood out to you that really, like, you realized you cared about either cars in general or clean cars, or like you started to notice the little details of a car?
Yeah, I've always been in the cars. Like, even as a small child, it was kind of always my one biggest interest. But when I was 10 years old, my dad bought me a classic Mini, and it was red, but it was really faded, just really badly oxidized, and I really wanted to bring the paint up. So
you were 10?
Back then,
10 years old.
I was 10 years old. Yeah, and back then, I had never heard of machine polish and wouldn't do for quite some time afterwards. But I got an old, pretty much a solvent filled polish, restoration polish, and T-cut the whole car by hand and brought it up to a nice bright red. And that's what got me really interested at the start in transforming the appearance of a car. And you know, it just went from there, and it got that I was keeping, before I could drive, you know, I was really interested in keeping my dad's car really clean, and you know, I would wash that car nearly every day, and you know, it just always looked really nice. And the reason I didn't get into detail when I left school was because we were always told there was no money in it. You know that was a job for losers. You know, nobody's going to make any money detailing cars. So that's why I get into the car body side of things. But as it transpires, you know, you can make pretty good standard of living from detailing. So
funny. I got that same exact advice before I started my detailing company, and that was, there's no money in this. Don't waste your time.
Yeah.
So that's funny. And then you have a shop, right? So, and do you also have a mobile van that goes around too, or is that just a shop car? Okay.
Just we've two vans, but they're really are just more mobile advertising things than anything else.
Okay. And so you really started the shop out of a desire to obviously be your own boss, but also to be able to do what you wanted to do on the cars, right?
Yeah. Yeah. At the start, this is the difference between in America and here in the UK. We've slightly different terms. So for, I don't know what you guys would call it, for like the cheap detailers, like the guys that just sort of wash and hoover and
hacks,
don't really do a lot else. Well, it's called valeting here. And that's kind of what I had to do to get started, because nobody knew about paint correction here. It's quite behind the times. Still, one of the biggest challenges we face day to day here is educating consumers. They just don't really get it until they've seen a car that's been done, or family or friends or whatever. You know, it's quite far behind in that aspect. But we had to do quite a lot of dealers just plain, ordinary, straightforward, basic cleaning, and then let the paint correction side of things build up over time. So thankfully now we don't do any of that type of stuff anymore. It is just detailing, mostly paint correction.
How long did that take to transition out?
About 3 years, I would say. Okay. From we were full time, from it was a full time business, about 3 years. And it was a conscious decision we had to make. We were really busy with all the dealership work, and then when we got paint correction work, it was hard to find the time to do it. So we just had to say, right, we're going to stop, not doing any more dealership cars, and we'll struggle through until the detailing side of things really comes forward. And that's it happened organically, and now it's grown so fast we can't actually keep up with it.
So give us a couple tips, because I think that's a struggle that a lot of guys have, is to sell either paint corrections or coatings in either smaller markets or really what you said in educating your customers, something that we all as an industry need to do better. But how have you, because you've seemingly overcome that, you know,
yes,
into now not doing any of the valeting or the kind of fleet washing or lower level, I guess, not lower level, not as detail-oriented work, I guess.
Yeah.
So how have you overcome that to only doing paint corrections and coatings now and none of that dealer work?
We did quite a lot of cheap work at the start. So the first few big detail jobs we did, we would have only maybe charged out the paint correction side of things, and then, you know, we would have took the wheels off the car and cleaned all the wheel arches and did the interiors and engine bays and didn't charge for those things, just to let people feel like they were getting more value for their money. And then once we got a few cars out there and people started to see the difference between, you know, a cheap job and getting it done properly, then we started to get more and more through the doors. But still today, like, we get quite a lot of phone calls from people that just want the cheaper work, where we just have to make a point of saying no, that you won't do it anymore, which was, that was the hardest thing for me to get into my head, was you were turning away paying customers because it wasn't the type of work you wanted to do. But if we hadn't have done that, we never would have, you know, we never would have got to where we are now. So it really was, that was the biggest thing, is just saying to yourself and making the decision that I'm not going to do that type of work anymore. And it just sort of went from there.
Was there any like key phrases or words that you used with customers that maybe would come in not interested in a paint correction, and then you were able to sell them into a paint correction? Or really it was just you kind of had to struggle to get those first few under your belt, and then once people started talking, it was like a snowball rolling down a hill, just getting bigger and bigger and bigger?
Yeah, just sort of snowballed. Quite a lot of people that came to us, if they were going to sell their car, and they're quite an easy sell, because you can show them how you can make, you know, you spend X amount on your car, but we're going to add so much more to the value of it. So that was quite an easy sell. And just by demoing what we could do with our car, so doing a small piece and showing, like, look, this is what we can do, then people started to see the benefit of it.
Now
we don't really have to sell the paint correction side of things. Consumers are more aware of that. Where we're having to educate people now is coatings. That's the market's pretty far behind here for consumers being aware of coatings and their benefits. So that's what we face now.
I love it. Let's now you can get into what happened today in your story. And for everyone listening, he wanted to get into it before we started recording, and I said, hold that. I always do this, right? I mess up and hear the story beforehand, and then it's not as, I don't think it would be as good if I was just hearing it for the first time. So now go into the lesson that you learned today that you had wished learned a long time ago.
Yeah. Okay. So today we get left a very in-depth one-star review, which isn't, in my opinion, justified. And it started out with taking on a job that we should just have said no to. And from now on, if anything like this comes in, I will know just to say no. So a customer brought a Mercedes to us, a little Mercedes coupe. It was really beat up, lots of rust. It just, the car needed completely overhauled from one side to the other. And they didn't have the budget to do it. So our usual paint shop would have charged about $3,000 to paint this car properly. And they wanted it painted. They wanted the wheels refurbished. They wanted brakes painted. They wanted the interior cleaned, everything. And they only had a budget of about $2,000 to do all of this work. So when I very first started up, we shared a yard, with a cheap paint shop, and they did fairly average work, but for quite a cheap price. So this customer really wanted the car done, but they didn't have the money to spend to do it properly. They begged, could we do anything with the car? So we took the job on and subcontracted out to the cheap paint shop. We had informed the customer that it was going to a cheaper paint shop, that I wouldn't even send my own car here, but if it was going to please them and suit their requirements, we could arrange it. So everything that we did to the car, we got done for $1,500, including our tidying the car up once it came back. But through such miscommunication with the customer, from their expectations, it just turned into a disaster of a job, which is really bad publicity for us now. When, you know, it could have been avoided by just saying no to that job in the first place. It kind of goes against everything that we normally would do. If something's being done, it has to be done right. But trying to do the right thing and help a customer out, it didn't work well for us this time.
So. Yeah. So did you inform the customer that you were subbing it out to someone, or no?
Yeah. Okay. We don't do any paint work in the shop. It's always subcontracted out. But we project managed it would be the best way to describe.
And then that shop just totally messed it up?
Well, they did what was required, but it took longer. So originally we thought about 2 weeks from start to finish with everything that the car needed done. But when the car got to the body shop and they started prepping the car, the rust was considerably worse than it first appeared. So it needed a lot more work, and then that ran the job on an extra week. And that was the biggest issue, I think, for the customer, was the time constraint of the whole job. They really did not want to leave the car any longer, and it meant we had 3 days with the car when we got it back. So bits of the job we focused on, and bits of it, the car needed more money spent in those areas. So the customer left unhappy, but didn't look at what they got for the money, as a whole. And it now looks bad on us when we should have just said no to begin with. That would have been the best way to leave things.
That's what was going to be my next question: is what would you have done differently? Or what would you do differently next time? Because, like you said before, I mean, the customer's willing to, like you said, they're begging you to do it. They're pretty much throwing money at you. How do you, that takes a lot to walk away from that, especially when you got the overhead of a shop and employees and all that.
Yes.
What would you have done differently if you still were going to take on the car? How would you have, what would you have done differently?
I think, possibly keeping the customer updated more regularly. Like we did keep them up to date with things as and when it happened, but the customer had supplied lots of electrical parts to fit to the car, and we hadn't seen the parts because they were getting delivered after the car had already been in our care. And we said if we could fit them we will, but if we can't, obviously we're not going to. And it looked like it was a job that needed to go to a professional to fit. It wasn't something that we would have felt comfortable taking on. It's not what we do.
Got it.
So we didn't fit those things, and that was a real issue for the customer. There was parts we'd ordered from Mercedes to fit to the vehicle, and they arrived, the dealership sent the wrong parts, and the customer really, really was unhappy about that. And even though that wasn't our fault, it's kind of hard to, it's hard to manage that expectation when there were so many aspects of that job were out of our control. And I think that's what I would do differently next time. If we're going to subcontract so much stuff out, I think we need to put a far bigger time scale on the job to allow for delays.
In communication with the customer.
Yeah, definitely.
So communication with your customers is key. So I kind of am interested in why you sold off half the business. I mean, I understand it was your friend and he helped out a lot working for free. Was it just to give him an opportunity, or is it more of a strategy for you to bring someone else in to help handle some of the back end business side stuff to propel you guys even further together?
Yeah, basically, as you know yourself, it takes a lot of time to, it's not just the work you're doing. There's so much work, answering customer inquiries, doing your bookkeeping, and trying to keep on top of everything. And I was finding that the busier we got, the more all the other demands came through, and I could spend 2 hours a day just answering emails and Facebook inquiries, and that made it really difficult to try and fit in extra work that we could be doing. So I knew I needed more employees, and I knew his standard of work was exceptional, and I didn't want to insult him by offering him a job. You know, he'd been with me from the start, and we had, he'd always helped me part time, and he was leaving quite a good career path to come to work with me. So I couldn't turn around and say, I'll pay you X amount a month just to work here, when he'd already given up so much of his, his own personal time to help get this off the ground at the very start. And he was very, very knowledgeable, and I knew that we could work well as a team and play each other's strengths and weaknesses to help progress things even further. So far it's worked exceptionally well. Like, our rate of growth in this last year has been crazy. We've probably doubled in the last year, which is insane.
How do you think you did that? What was that? Was there a couple of things that you guys implemented to help aid that growth?
A lot of it has been organic. So one of our biggest things that we've done really well, or that's worked out really well, I should say, is we got our G-Technique accreditation. So, like, we would have sold coatings before. We would have sold other manufacturers' coatings, but there was no real brand behind them, so we found it quite difficult to sell the coatings.
Definitely.
Where getting involved with G-Technique, they had such a big brand, and it's brought us customers that weren't aware of us, but were aware of the product, and they have now searched out because they want that product on their car, and it's brought them to us. And it's also been a really easy upsell for regular customers, because the product's so well known, and it has such a good aftercare system in place, and that's been one of the best things we've done this year. And then just keeping on top of our marketing, keeping on top of our Facebook, and try to update it every day. I think that's really important. I think that's what lets quite a lot of detailers down, is they don't promote themselves enough. We are constantly promoting, constantly. Every job we do, we make sure it's photographed, it's put online. We make sure we answer every inquiry as quickly as possible. So having him here has allowed me the time that I can answer customers quickly and efficiently, because he can be doing some of the hands-on work, whereas before, I was having to weigh up, I need to get this car finished on time today, so I'll just have to answer that later. And they may went and spoke to my competition in between times and then have booked a car in with them. So that's been a huge help as well.
I love that. And that's one lesson that I've had to learn, and it's been hard for me, is like, document everything. And by documenting it, taking pictures, or for me, recording it or video or whatever, because you never know when you're going to want to use that, either currently or in the future. And I love that. If anyone, I'll link up your Facebook page and your Instagram in the show notes, but I feel like one thing you're doing really well is your Facebook looks really nice. And people ask me all the time, they say, is it really that important that I have a really great Facebook page? And what I tell them, and maybe you can agree or disagree with me on this, but it may not be the first thing people see or go to when they're searching for a detailer, but it's definitely one of those added things of like, oh, then they check out they check out your website, and then you have a link to your Facebook page. And then, so they go, cruising on your Facebook page for a little while. And if they like what they see there, then maybe they call you, or maybe they're on your website and then Yelp, or Yelp and then your website and then your Facebook. And so you can use them all as like building blocks to get that customer to call you.
Yeah, you agree? I think an online presence is the most important aspect aside from your quality of work, etc. But as a marketing tool, your online presence is everything. I know you do quite a lot of like courses on SEO stuff and about the importance of Google AdWords and things like that. That is really important. We rank Google number one in our area for most search terms, and that was something we worked really hard on because, you know, everybody Googles everything now. You know, if you have a question about anything,
everything,
you just go to Google, you know, and that's
Dr. Google.
Even more so than before, you would even ask your friends for things. Sometimes you'll just go to Google straight away. So that was really important for us. And the Google thing, we found that because the website's ranking higher now, and our it's really brought the activity up on our Facebook page. But I'd say we probably receive about 40%, maybe 50% of our new inquiries are through our Facebook page.
And wow.
Which is crazy. And I would say probably 30% would be phone calls, and then the other 20% would be via email, so which is directly off the website. But it all together is so important. It really is. That's the one thing that could make or break you.
Mm. What has been like one of the biggest breakthroughs? Was it posting on your Facebook page or getting ranked number one on Google? Or what's been one of the biggest breakthrough things for your business that really elevated it?
We moved premises. Mm-hmm. So before we were in, I'm from a little town called Ballyclare, which is, this isn't going to sound like far in American, but it was 25 miles away from from Belfast, which is our main city. Mm. And people don't really travel here. Like you'll find that people from Belfast don't really travel outside of Belfast. People from further afield don't mind traveling. And we moved to Belfast about nearly 3 years ago now, and we did that move, and almost overnight it doubled our bookings.
Wow.
Which was crazy. And it's a really nice shop, you know. It's nice, it's tidy, it's in a really good location. Like we're 2 minutes away from our local Ferrari dealership. It's really good access from each side of the city. That was probably the best thing we've done, that we've noticed such a marked difference. So that probably won't apply to mobile guys, but if you're going to have a shop, you have to make sure it's in a really good location, and it's worth paying the money to be in a good location. Like our rent is 3 times the price that it was where we were before, but it's worth every penny.
Wow, that's awesome. And then I just want to switch gears a little bit to talk about a little bit about product. So, And I think I have an idea of what it is, but what's one breakthrough product that changed the way you detail cars forever?
I know you're going to think I'm going to say G-Technique. I would actually say it's probably Roop System.
Okay, I was thinking G-Technique.
Yeah, the G-Technique has done really well for us because of the profit levels. And the coatings are amazing. They really are superb. We're selling a product that we're really confident in. Mm. We know it works. But from an actual technical aspect of productivity, Roop System is just incredible. It really has decreased the machine time on a car by so much. It's allowed us to, you know, we can book more cars in now because we can get through cars in a much quicker time scale than what we were before. So I'd say that's probably the biggest breakthrough we've had. Like that system's just so good.
And are you using the coordinating pad with the coordinating product on that?
We mix it about depending on the car. So we have the 15, the 21, and the hybrid.
Okay.
And we have all the pads and polishes to suit. But we use microfiber quite a lot. And we would mix that up with Meguiar's polishes. So that would tend to be the Roop's machine. The 15's our go-to machine most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then microfiber for paint correction is pretty hard to beat on quite a lot of cars. And then the Roops finishing system, you know, their finishing pads and finishing polishes are excellent. That I think we just got the hybrid about a few weeks ago now, and I'm finding it very, very useful. I'm using it a lot more than I thought I was going to. So if you ask me in another 6 months, that might be the one thing that's changed.
Love it. What is, looking forward, what's one thing that's really exciting you about the future of the detailing industry as a whole?
The progression of the technology. It's amazing how far things have come on, particularly in the past 5 years. So I can't wait to see what's going to come out next. I'm really looking forward to cordless machines. I can't wait until
I agree.
Somebody bring that. That's going to be a big, big game changer. And we're investing in a new lighting setup at the minute, which is all totally cordless as well. And I think that's going to be just from an ease of moving it about the workshop as we're working. That's going to be a real time saver as well. So I think the technology increases is probably the best thing about our industry at the minute. It, you know, the companies and manufacturers really are spending the money to make everything better. So we're really feeling the benefits of it as detailers.
I think we're going to see cordless machines and I have no basis for this, but I think we're going to see cordless machines at SEMA this year, which you're going to,
yeah,
right? You're coming out?
Yeah, we are. Yeah. Which I would like to see cordless machines. And I know I listened to one of your podcasts that you had. I can't remember his name now.
Darren?
From Roops.
Todd or yeah, Jason I've had them all.
And he was talking about the technology's kind of there with it. So I'm hoping that this year that's going to be the next thing. Because have you got an hybrid yourself?
I haven't. So that, yeah, I have it. I like it and I would like one.
It's excellent.
Put it that way. I would like one.
I really didn't think I would use it as much as I do, but because it's cordless, you can just lift it. You know, it's not like you're having to plug it in and
right.
You know, wind out the cord. You just lift it when you need it. So I find that you use it for stuff that you probably could do with the 15 or the 21. But because it's so easy to do it with the hybrid,
exactly.
You just pick up the hybrid.
I think if I had a shop, I would be a little bit quicker to buy one. But since I'm mainly mobile right now, it's kind of just another tool that there's a huge area where it could be super useful. But it's just kind of another thing that I would have to lug around that I wouldn't be using every day. But I really need it for my watch right now, to be honest. I put a coating on my watch and every day I think about like, oh man, it would be perfect for this. Okay, so this is kind of a random question, but I hope this is fun. What is one purchase that you've made in the past year? And this could be detailing or non-detailing related, by the way. So one purchase that you've made in the past year of $100 or less that you would recommend to everyone. It's been, and I didn't pre-ask you this, so I know you've had zero time to think about it, but it could be, I'll buy you some time here. It could be something related, but related to detailing, but it could be a pair of shoes, it could be a book, it could be a CD, it could be literally anything in your life, but under $100 or thereabouts of $100.
Good quality headphones. I listened to podcasts or music quite a lot while I'm working, and I found that it makes me way more productive.
Yes.
So having really good quality headphones, I think that's probably been the best thing I've bought, because before I would, you know, if I'd have been listening to the podcast and I'd have been machining it or something, and then, you know, sometimes I can't really hear this, and you would have stopped then.
To
listen to what you were really interested in. So now I've got really good ones. I can just keep.
What headphones do you have?
They're Sony ones. So they're, I can't remember what model they are, but they're really, really good compared to what I was using before. They're excellent.
Are they just earbuds, or do they go over your whole ear?
No, they're the full size ones.
I'll have to look those up and link them up in the show notes. Cool. All right, man. Well, let's wrap this thing up. If people want to connect with you, how can they find you? How could they follow your Facebook page? I think, what are you at on Facebook? Are you at 4,000 on your business page?
Just under 4,000.
Okay, so that's pretty significant. Yeah, you're like...
Yeah.
Let's maybe after the podcast airs, you'll hit over 4,000. You're at 3,952 right now.
Yeah.
So you're close. So if people want to follow you there, how can they do that and watch what you're doing so they could replicate it and do it in their neck of the woods?
So if you just search PMG Auto Care on Facebook, we will be definitely the first result. Or if you go to www.detailingbelfast.co.uk, that's our website, or they can follow my own personal Facebook. Just look up Pete Gilchrist and you should find me on there.
Love it. Any parting words of advice or anything that we didn't talk about that you wanted to talk about?
Nothing I can think of. The only thing I'd say is never stop learning. That's another big thing that we've, especially for us older detailers that have been in the game a long time, don't dismiss new product and new techniques that could seriously hold you back. And the RIP system's probably the biggest thing that I can say was a changing point for me. I hadn't given it the credit that it was due until I used it, and now I wish I'd have bought it sooner.
Today's sponsor of the show is Bluehost. Bluehost offers domains and hosting. If you're looking at buying a domain name or hosting your current domain name, head on over to autodetailingpodcast.com/website. I've worked out a deal with Bluehost for special discounts and offers for Auto Detailing Podcast listeners, and it also helps me out too. It gives me a little bit of kickback for each one of you that sign up through that website, autodetailingpodcast.com/website, where you can get a free domain name with a hosting plan. So head on over to autodetailingpodcast.com/website and pick up that free domain with any hosting package. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Auto Detailing Podcast. Head on over to autodetailingpodcast.com for full show notes and links of everything that we've talked about today. And don't forget to check out our resources page for a direct link to all the products talked about not only on today's episode, but that I use in my day-to-day detail business. They have direct links so you can purchase and get free shipping right from that page. That's autodetailingpodcast.com. We'll see you on the next episode.